Okay, and another loud round of applause, a cheer for Dana Durnford, who is up there somewhere off British Columbia or on British Columbia, still looking into things as they continue to occur. We're moving into spring. Hopefully the weather's better up there for Dana. He's had I would have to call it an heroic and miraculous winter that he has survived some of the things he's been through. We are indebted to him beyond measure, and the information he has posted on his site is unique in the world. We have really nowhere else to look except what we can put together here and a couple of other places as well. What's going on in Fukushima is not good. Another, I can't prove it, but another example of what may be radiation-related massive die-off of sea life has occurred in the Newport Beach Balboa area of Southern California. They're calling these small crab-like creatures, and I honestly, I'm not sure what they are. I'm looking at a picture of them now, and I don't recognize them. They say they don't really usually appear in that particular area of Southern California, but it was big. Let's see if I can find something. They caught, one report said there were gazillions of them, mini crabs, which actually look like tiny lobsters or crawfish. They created a rim of red all along the shoreline, scattered on the sand along the seaside community of Balboa Island in Newport Beach. Most washed up dead at high tide, but some were still alive and trying to swim near the shoreline. Now, no one's talking about this. How many different mass die-offs have we talked about on the program here and posted stories about in the last couple of years? Dozens. And not one story that I can remember features any scientist or researcher talking openly about the potential of radioactivity in the mass die-off of whatever species we're talking about. And here we have another one, and it won't be the last. There will be many, many more. So let's go up north now and talk to Dana Durnford, the man who discovered that the orca were no longer singing at night, and they're no longer singing because they have no young. Not one orca baby has lived, to the best of the ability of the scientists who study them, past the age of a year since 311. Pretty sad. I'd stop singing, too, if I were in that group. Hello there, my friend. How are you?
Thank you, Jeff. I'm just got into port, and it's been just a tough, tough day. Tough 3 days. Good days, but we got the data, so I'm finished up with the south end of the Queen Charlotte's Haudenosaunee Islands. That was 120 nautical miles, and tough stuff today. If I didn't get out of there, I'd be stuck there for 5 or 6 or 7 days. And so the whole dive fleet up here has moved up to where I'm to. Looks like everybody's going to be pinned down here for at least that period, maybe next weekend. Now, there was nothing down there. That is stunning. That is stunning news. Absolutely confirmed now. And
what did they say? 3 days. How was it described to you?
There's nothing down there in the context of what I was finding everywhere else. There's just two or three algaes, and there was no mollusks, there was no snails.
What are the divers saying about this?
Well, the divers are targeting a bigger, up the food chain, the sea urchins and the gooey ducks, but they're seeing all kinds of other things. One of the divers is just telling me, as when I come into the wharf here, he's going to tell me more about it later, that he's seeing an invasive algae out there along with the black coral, and it's like all the urchins and everything are running away from this stuff. They won't touch it. And he says it's the strangest thing he's ever seen. He was wondering if the species that eat that algae, got wiped out, like suckerfish type.
Huh.
Got wiped out for them to show up, because he's been diving the coastline. I've known him a long time. He's been diving for many years, a couple of decades.
Yeah.
It's just the strangest thing possible. Like I said, last time I was talking to you, the divers were down by Corona, down by Ramsey Island, by the hot springs here in the Charlotte's very popular area, and the ocean floor was covered in starfish legs. Leather stars was the most popular one they were seeing, but they didn't see the bodies. I'm not seeing nothing on the coastline. I was right down into the wildest place you can imagine. It was hellish for 3 days.
What was it? Where were you? What were you doing?
Down by Cape St. James, trying to get the data on the shoreline down there, on the coastline.
Yeah.
And I did. I got on the beach, just three tides in a row. And like, that's what I'm saying. It's naked down there, except for some algae. So that's really stunning to see it in the most, probably the wildest spot you can imagine in Canada. It is, in, by far.
Right.
It's naked down there. Shocking. And so this is going to, this is, I think, by the time we finish the Charlotte, this is going to change the game altogether. Very, very, very sad news. Very devastating news. And just like the gallows left at time. But this is devastating to have it absolutely confirmed. We were hoping for pockets of life. And Yoshi was saying, you know, and he was right for the most part, but it was shocking that I didn't find it. There was, like I said, the original couple of days that I first started up here, we did start to see no extra species, but we were seeing, you know, the same 100 species out of the 9,600 species.
Uh-huh.
Just less than 100 for the folks who don't understand. And they seemed like in that couple of spots, they were starting to look like, I don't know, you know, maybe there's a bit of life up here, but it turns out it's not. And that's devastating, big time devastating, because now it's confirmed. And so the Haida Gwaii's communities, the Queen Charlotte Island communities, these people are switched on environmentally, and they're switched on to Fukushima, but they're being manipulated and lied to by a local patsy. He was the same guy, John Disney, up in Massey. He's the same guy who burnt up $2.5 million putting iron in the water off the Charlotte. I don't know if you remember that last year. And he was trying to create a phytoplankton bloom. Now, that's really interesting because the phytoplankton is the basis of the food chain. So why was somebody trying to get a phytoplankton bloom if it was healthy? If it was a normal ecological natural system, because it's not. And so that was one of the kooky experiments scientists had played around with when they were panicking. And we weren't aware what was going on. They got caught at it. And that went away, of course. Now, he's the go-to guy up in the Charlotte for the media. Now, I done an interview with the local media here for an hour and a half. I gave him a presentation, an actual presentation. And then the same day, they published a story of John Disney saying there was, got the water samples, there was no radiation whatsoever, which is a patently absurd, ultimately.
Yeah, well.
This
of course.
Is part of that cover-up.
Well, people are gonna believe those lies because it's convenient for them to. They just do.
You seen a change in the divers? You know, the divers are half on the fence, half off the fence.
Really? Okay. And well, those that are off the fence.
They're coming around.
Yeah.
They're coming around. They're coming around and apologize to me.
Mm-hmm.
And
are they?
You know, they had time. Yeah, they had time to think about it and talk about it among themselves and look it up themselves and come to the realization there was really truly something going on. In fact, what I was saying, right? Because it's hard not to notice me with the big red dinky and another dinky and the roof hanging out with them all the time. So the words have finally traveled throughout the fleet. And I know a lot of these people, so a lot of them will stand up for me and say, hey, wait a second, Dana's not just anybody. Dana's one of the team here, okay? You got to give him the benefit of the doubt before you can slander him. He's not doing it for something to do, you can be sure of it. And so I had that on my side, and that seems to be getting them all back on the table, back thinking on their feet. And so a lot of them are very concerned at this stage. A lot of them are really coming up and talking to me and telling me they are seeing, there's no doubt beyond any shadow of a doubt, there's huge changes going on underwater. But once again, you know, I'm looking at the tidal zones itself, so getting that data from them is a very helpful.
That's a big plus, yeah. So they're seeing, at what, 50 to 100 feet? That's about
they're
it.
They're seeing a huge change. In the ocean, and that the kelp is not there, and that the bull kelp, which is what the urchins, for instance, really love.
Well, that's the forest and the ocean, basically, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is. It's the biggest part of the ecosystem out there, and it's very visible because you get wrapped around your prop all the time, you get bogged down.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because you can't escape it if you're on the coastline. It used to be you could. There was nowhere on the coastline you can go that was safe at low tide to go ashore. It was so dangerous because so many algae. You can go to shore anywhere on this entire coastline. And a lot of the studies were done just pre-Fukushima, and so it was a very vibrant, healthy coastline right up to that point, and then everything disappeared. And what's unusual is the global warming scientists would be all over this if they could prove, you know, somewhere or another this was something to do with what they're talking about.
Oh, they'd
but the
love
fact
it.
That it's
sure.
got to do with radiation, they can't even... mention it. They can't even go near it. I mean, how can...
Now, have you seen one story, Dana, yet, where a scientist or a researcher has mentioned radiation as a possibility to answer some kind of a riddle or a strange, mysterious die-off? Not one.
No. Hey, I got to go on for you. How come we only get Arne Gunnarsson? Is there another nuclear scientist on the planet who wouldn't mind having 2 minutes of fame out there, I wonder? Why is it we all get fed this one single nuclear scientist and every other nuclear scientist is locked up in a basement somewhere?
There
I don't
must
know
be.
What's going on.
There's a special prison for them.
Yeah, there will be. I guess my way. Yeah, they're in my gun sights, that's for sure. I don't mean that like physically, but I mean they're in the sights. They got to go. They got to get their pensions taken away from them. They got to get thrown away like garbage or used to go pick up the rods at Fukushima or something like that. I mean, you won't see Harvard at Fukushima. You're not going to see Yale at Fukushima. You're not going to see Stanford at Fukushima. You're not going to see MIT at Fukushima. But you'll see homeless coming and going. Nobody knows who they are. No one's keeping records. And they're using them up like it's the paper towels. And it's despicable that as a society we can sit there and allow this to happen. We should definitely send all the nuclear scientists down to Fukushima, Jeff, and give the homeless a break, you know?
I agree. I'll help pay for their tickets.
I got no problem. I'll raise money for every one of them that want to go down there. I got no problem.
They won't go near it. See, I think that most of them know exactly what's going on. Certainly we know that the government knows. They measure everything all the time. They know precisely how much radiation is in the water, is in the air, is in the rain, on the ground. But they know.
Right.
But they're not talking.
I know.
They're monitoring this all the time.
And it throws people off, I'm sure. They don't understand that I just went through 8 hours of hell trying to get back into port and that I'm still rattled from that one for quite another couple hours, probably till I wake up in the morning. It's been a very hairy 3 days getting... That's a very dangerous, very scary coastline. Just frightening.
Well, you got your motors, both your motors working, I assume?
Right, yeah. No, they're working fine. That's intimidating. Great big ground swells. You're there by yourself in those areas. You haven't got no time to make a mistake. And so the chance of somebody actually being able to go and get the data is next to nothing. It's such a difficult thing to do. And it's only the fact that I'm on the ocean for so long, that's all I know at this stage, is go get that data so I can finally go home, right? Get all the
exactly.
data.
Exactly,
yeah. And then I can go home. And that's kind of coming sooner than later because I can't last much longer at this rate. I'm literally worn out. I've been out there for months. But I'm ecstatic that we got, unfortunately, the proof that there is major, major, inconceivable, unimaginable damage.
When are you going home? Friend.
Yeah, probably going to be, I'm going to shorten it up. I would say
another couple weeks?
Another 3 or 4 weeks, I'll be on my way home for sure.
All right, let's say 2 weeks. 2 weeks. You go home.
Well, it'll take me 2 weeks to do the top end, and then I got to get wetter to get across, and then I got to work my way down the coastline, which will only take a week or so.
Now, you can go out this summer, remember? August?
Yeah.
Take a look then.
I don't know if I'll ever want to get on a boat again, Jeff.
Well.
I honestly believe I don't ever want to see another boat ever for the rest of my life.
Maybe you can just get a nice RV and drive up with...
Right. I wouldn't mind going doing an insect study on land.
That's what I'm thinking.
Shoreline.
Take an RV up, look onshore and see what you see. Talk to locals about bird populations, insects, and so forth. See what you can see.
I got an amazing amount of work left to do to upload all that data onto the site when I get back. That's going to take a month and a half, 2 months straight. Huge volumes of data and information to shift through, put it all together. So, you know, I'm and then, of course, you know, everything
else. If it didn't pay so well, you probably wouldn't do it, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's just a stupid amount of work coming up. But I can't wait to get at it. I really, truly can't. I want everybody to get their hands on it.
Once you put that up there, friend, it's going to be irrefutable, undeniable, end of story. Period.
That's the urgency. You've got to get it and get it up, and then we can have a debate. Until then, they can play the games, and they can play them well, too, and they're very talented.
Well, they own the media. Of course they can.
I mean, I called out Ian Gardard's G-A-D-D-A-R-D journal, And this guy had put out a video, and he had said potassium 40, and equated with man-made radiation, for 12 minutes straight. And so if anybody don't know any better is watching that, they're going to get brainwashed. I mean, it's just...
Oh, well, that's it. You keep repeating the same lie. Sure. Old trick.
That's supposed to be a reputable journal that's been quoted many times in the media. And here it is, just bald face, in your face, pure lies. Just like you're living in the 1940s or something.
Yeah.
And I just don't know. I understand how somebody can do that. I don't know where their moral and ethical...
Well, what we're living in is really the age of the end of morality and accountability.
Yeah.
We live now in the age of lies, of duplicity, of deceit, of deception, and no one seems to care. We have no constraints, there are no parameters anymore. The little white lie has been replaced by the enormous, huge lie, and people don't have any worry about doing that. They just go to it.
Fukushima is going to smirk them all up in a little tiny bit. I think all the people that have been living in these little tiny paradigms and fantasies are in for a really big surprise, because the little comfort zone they built for themselves is not going to work much longer, and they're going to feel that on that terrifying rush of reality that we have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
The pertinent reality is that we have to treat it like a meteorite coming at us, and people don't even understand that. But, I mean, they evacuated 7,500 communities in the Tetra River in the late 40s because of a hell of a lot less radiation than what's going on here. And a lot of people equate, Fukushima with radiation bomb testing. Bomb testing, it was only about 5% of that product is fissionable, is atomized in the aerosol. The rest of it is sticking to stuff and falling down and landing on stuff. It doesn't actually atomize in the aerosol. Fukushima is cannibalizing rebar and steel and cement and rocks and everything else, and they are full of atoms, and they're being ionized and radiated, and all that water is spraying on and is ionized and radiating, turning into atoms. And that's the point, is you put 2 million atoms on the head of a needle, but you can't see it. That's 2 million cancers if you were able to distribute an atom to each person. And it might take 5 years or 6 or 7 years to show up. And so a lot of people, I don't see people dying all over the place. It's coming. Dr. Raymond Gilmedi killed beagle dogs and puppies for 35 years at Loveless Respiratory Research, and he showed definitively over 35 years, no matter how tiny that particle was, and he was doing americium-141 and plutonium-239, and no matter how tiny that particle was, we killed 70% of the animals in about 4 years to 5 years. That's definitive, because these studies, that was just one of the many, many, many thousands of research institutions that are taking mammals and killing them. But all the studies that they're using for models of radiation are based up on a single-minute exposure. And then this has been going on for about 50 years using that one model only, but yet they won't touch the models from the animals. They won't talk about that stuff. All the data that they're arguing with people about is based upon a single 1 minute exposure. That's shocking. That's the utter betrayal, an absolute betrayal of academics in every context of the word. And I think that'll be the ultimate crime, is that we lost the fate now in the scientific and academic community forever. And yet that's what we're going to have to turn to try to solve some of these problems. But how can we solve them? How can we have checks and balances that we can feel any comfort in anymore, because they have abrogated every single responsibility that was entrusted to them. We gave them the monetary, we gave them the authority, we gave them their pensions, we gave them everything they ever asked for to do a simple job and not do what they've done to us. And it's just that system. It comes down to this, is that corporations have human rights, and they got that through sledge of hand, through legislation. And that's legislation, that's an illegal amendment to an amendment that can be taken away from. So human rights, in other words, to corporations, is the very foundation of taking back any kind of governance of ourselves and our futures. And we are the stewards of the planet, and this is our watch. And so the onus is truly on us to try to sort this out in a way that has to be...
A fair and equitable
uniform.
Way. Yeah.
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 You know, what is our legacy is the most important thing. And I know that's a Newfoundland accent pops out of me sometimes. But what is going to be our legacy? Is it going to be that we...
Our legacy is going to be death and a dying planet. deadly...
That's not your legacy, though, right?
Yeah.
Your legacy
yeah.
is trying to change that. That's the point
we're
trying to make. You're just a single person, and look what you've managed to accomplish in your lifetime. You got a long way ahead of you, many, 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 many good times ahead of you of changing the game that just one person was able to do. I mean, that's a legacy to be proud of many, many times over.
Well,
very few people can look at that and say that's their legacy.
You know, I thank you for that, but I couldn't do it without the wonderful people listening who care. And that's
true.
What it's all about. If there was no one listening, I'm out in the forest yelling into the silence. No one's hearing. No sound, no ears, no nothing. So, yeah, well, we've got people out there who really care about you and what you've done, heroic things. You've just unbelievable. I got to tell you, I'm really thankful that you are still alive. I worried about you a great deal, and I think you're on the home stretch now, and you'll be okay.
It's a rough one. Yeah. No, it's true. I hear you.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to have to bug out. I can barely keep my eyes open.
Okay, no problem. You go ahead.
Adrenaline wearing off because I just raced 8 hours up the coastline ahead of the weather, and it was a tough turn.
Well, you're fighting it. You're fighting it all the way. Okay,
you go
get some rest. No problem at all.
Right this second.
We'll talk to you. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, everybody. And
okay.
Once again, thank you, my friend, for everything you're doing.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks.
Good stuff.
All right. Okay, Dana Durnford, and his website is. Click on his name. Go right to it. It's nuclearproctologist.org. As odd of a name as that is, it is a treasury of truth. All right. We'll be right back.